You got to let the devil know you mean business, or else he's gonna keep messing with you. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
See, there's a time he might attack you, but you can run him off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you stand on God's word. Say this with me, say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The word of God.
Word of God.
And take the boy outside. Let's do this again. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The word of God.
Word of God.
And God's word.
God's word.
Is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction
with
power.
My Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The word of God.
The word of God.
And God's word.
God's word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will.
Of His will.
For my life.
For my life.
Whatever it says I am.
Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do.
Whatever it says I can do.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have.
Whatever it says I have.
I claim it.
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
In God's presence. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 8. We will continue the teaching on love being the law of the kingdom. Say love.
Love.
The royal law.
Royal law.
Oh, there's more people here than that. Say love.
Love.
The royal law.
The royal law.
Of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
Praise God. Amen. We got to learn to be in symphony, on one accord, in unity. When you hear your pastor tell you to say something, say it because it's for your good. Praise God.
Amen.
James chapter 2, verse 8. James chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. The primary law, as we have been learning throughout these lessons, is love. Praise God. And we learned last week that we're not talking about any old kind of love, because in the English language, there's only one word for love, whereas in the Greek, they have a number of words for love. We learned that there's a word called phileo, which is brotherly love, you know, love for brother, love for sister, love for cousin, love for mom, love for dad. You know, I have love for all my family members, praise God.
Amen.
Then there's eros. The way people have twisted that word, where it sounds with, where you know they use the word erotic, is oftentimes used in concerning pornography and things of that nature. Praise God. And which is sad, because you know, before I got saved, I had an issue with that particular sin, and so eros has been twisted, whereas eros is from God, because there is nothing wrong with having a sexual attraction towards your spouse. Praise God.
Amen.
God created you that way so that y'all can get together and have babies and populate the earth. Glory to God.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with eros kind of love. It's only wrong when it's twisted and used for in a sense of lusting after one another. Praise God.
Amen.
In a sexual and a perverted way. So, but there is the eros love, and then there is there's two other kinds. I can't remember them off the top of my head. But then there's agape or agape, depending on however you pronounce it. Agape or agape, which is unconditional love. Say unconditional.
Unconditional love.
God has a brotherly love for you. Jesus loves you as brothers and sisters that He died for, but He also has and agape love. Thank God that He has agape love, which is unconditional, because if He didn't have unconditional love, see, quite often with phileo love, I can love you until you do me wrong. Amen.
Amen.
You're my friend. I love you. You're my partner. What? You backstabbed me? You mean you're going around gossiping about? You told that secret I told you to keep? Man, I don't love you no more. See, that is unconditional love, praise God.
Amen.
You know, like when my kids make me mad, you know, they're my kids when they're doing good, they're getting good grades, they're bringing home good report cards, that's my baby. They do something wrong, then I go to Taco and say, your son or your daughter, no longer do I want to own them, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
That's phileo love. That's conditional. Unconditional love is no matter how much they mess up, we sit them down, and y'all listen, young parents, learn this, what I'm trying to teach you here from experience, praise God. You sit them down, and you tell them, I'm not pleased with what you did, but I love you, praise God.
Amen.
I love you, and you can do better than this. I know you can do better than this. That's why I'm going to be hard on you. But remind them that you love them, even when you have to put the paddle to their booty. When you bend them over, and let that be the last resort, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Let the paddle be the last resort. But the Bible says, he who spared the rod, hated his son. So there's going to be times you have to put the paddle to your children's behinds. But when you do, don't do it in anger. Bend them over, say, this, I love you. You know, parents used to say, this hurts me more than it hurt you. And like, can I do it to you then? But there's some truth to that, because man, I don't know, I couldn't stand doing it. But when you do it, let them know, I love you. I have to do this. I don't want to do this, but I have to. And then give them a couple of whacks. Don't be hit. Bam! Bam! Like my mom used to say. Well, maybe it's good. That's why I'm so tough now. But I mean, man, give them a few whacks. You know, my kids, man, they cry before the thing came down on them. Can you at least wait till I hit you? But don't ever, ever show unconditional love, praise God.
Amen.
Be like your father. And that's what we're going to talk about today. God is an unconditional loving father. That is, when we talk about the royal law of the kingdom, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about phileo love. It's not talking about eros love. It's talking about agape love, praise God.
Amen.
That's very important in a marriage, whether you know it or not. See, if your husband, for you young ladies, you might marry him and he's looking good right now. I mean, he's looking like the epitome. He looks like Denzel when Denzel was like in his 20s, glory to God. Or Will Smith when he was in his 20s. Mm-hmm. But when last time I saw Will Smith, I don't watch TV or anything, but he still looked pretty good.
Mm.
But, I mean, he's looking like the movie star of movie stars. Y'all get married, 3 years later, he's looking like Santa Claus. You know what? You can't say, I don't love you no more because you're big and fat now. You love him anyway, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Love him enough to stop feeding him all that junk you've been feeding him. Give him some vegetables, praise Jesus.
Amen.
But unconditional love is not, it means that it has nothing to do with how their spouse looks. It doesn't, if the wife, after, you know, some husbands want to leave their wives after she done gave him 3 or 4 babies and then getting mad because he's fat. I mean, she's fat. Well, she done just popped out all them babies for you. Praise God.
Amen.
How dare you want to leave her now? You got to stay there and work things out. Glory to God. And you know, some of these older guys my age want to mess with these young 20, 30-year-old women. I tell them, you better leave them alone. Stay with a mature woman that'll take care of you. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And you older ladies, that's the same thing with you, with men. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Find yourself a mature man who loves Jesus. Find yourself a mature man who acts like Jesus, because Jesus, his love is unconditional. Let's look once again at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to continue to talk about God and how God expresses that unconditional love. Because as you understand God, then you will understand how you must act. Hallelujah. Pastor Mary told you that one of my favorite sayings is that you are like the God that you worship. And if you believe that God is a certain way, then you'll feel justified in becoming that way. Amen.
Amen.
That's why the Muslims don't have no love, because their God doesn't have any love. Their God believes in stealing, killing, and destroying, John chapter 10, verse 10. Does that sound like Jehovah God to you?
No.
No. Sounds like somebody else to me. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God." Why? "For God is love." Say that with me. Say, God is love.
Love.
See, if you don't, John says, if you don't love, then you don't know God. "Oh, I love the Lord and I won't take it back." But yet you hate your brother. Yet you hating people. That's not you. That's not good. You don't know God then. You think you know God. But you don't know God if you don't know how to walk in love. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, there are some, I deal with so many different people, you know, in my ministry, outside of this church, you know, my wife would tell you, we got so many people that are, you know, called the house, and, you know, because of our online ministry, and there are people who gotta read our books and stuff like that. And occasionally you get people that want to debate you concerning certain things, or you read stuff that other people is teaching that goes totally against what you're teaching. And there are people who will sit there and say stuff like, "Well, you know, the Bible never says that love is the only thing about God. That it also says that God is holy. God has judgment. God is a judge," and all this other stuff. But listen, what they don't understand, and where they fail to read, because they want to have an excuse to be judgmental. They want to have an excuse to be legalistic. And so they don't understand that God's holiness, God's judgment, and even God's wrath all emanate from his love. Praise God. The foundation of everything else God does is from his love. If God gets angry, he's not angry because he just wants to destroy, that you offended him. God gets angry because your sin is hurting other people, including yourself. Praise God. And it's just like any parent. If my child is doing drugs and is stealing from her sister or her brother or anybody else, I'm going to become angry because they are destroying themselves, and then they're destroying others in the process. Glory to God.
Amen.
But it's out of love that I'm angry, not out of "how dare you come in my house with your drug addict attitude stealing from me." No, that's the wrong approach there. That's the Hollywood approach, praise God. And you know Hollywood, they ain't got no love in them. They're full of sin. And you watch these movies, everything's about vengeance, praise God. You know, and even sadly, I find myself cheering for the hero that's trying to take somebody's life because of what happened. Because the Hollywood the way they do movies and stuff like that, you got cheering for the criminal that's out there winning and stuff like that. And then I had to catch myself. That's why I stopped watching this stuff. Praise God. If you can watch it, you know, you can be entertained and watch it without it affecting your spirit. More power to you. But I found out that it affects me. It affects my attitude. It affects the way I treat people, praise God. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm filling my spirit with that more than this, then I'm going to start acting like that, praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And that even includes some of the new stuff you watch sometimes. Man. But anyway, the person who doesn't love people don't know God. So if you're going to obey the royal law of the kingdom, you need to get to know God. Oh, glory to God. You need to get to know God, and you need to get to know how he is, how he acts, and what he does. Now, God wants an intimate relationship with you, but he also has provided you with enough information about him in this word. Praise Jesus. I never understand people who talk about, "Well, God, he's so mysterious. You never get to know God." That's a lie. This says right here that it's possible to know God if you start walking in love. And the Bible gives you plenty of information about God. Why would God give you 66 books? Y'all know there's 66 books in this Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
why would he give you 66 books and then tell you you'll never know me or understand me? That's just stupid. If I gave you a whole book about me, about my life, about, you know, the way I am, you know, what ticks me off, what doesn't tick me off, what makes me happy, and then you sit there and say, oh, Pastor Troy is so mysterious, you'll never understand me. Read the book, dummy!
If I want you to know all about me, I wouldn't write a book. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why I haven't written a book about myself yet. No. No. I may write a book one day, but I'll tell y'all, there's too many. I would rather be dead after this, before it's published, because I don't want y'all. I'll be too embarrassed about some of the things I've done in my life. Praise God. You know, that's the good thing. See, God, he ain't never did no wrong, so he can tell y'all everything about him. The funny thing, too, is in his book about him, he tells you about other people that did wrong. See, some of y'all sit there and talk about, well, I sure wish I was alive during that time period when the Bible was being written. No, you don't. I'm telling you, all your stuff will be right here.
Yeah.
I mean, David, a great man, but yet his adultery is right there in the book.
Yes, that's good.
Abraham, the father of us all, and yet right there in the book, he lied twice. Not once, twice, acting like a coward. Oh my God, it's all in the book. And I said, boy, I'm just so glad that all my stuff ain't in this book. I'll tell you. But anyway, let's look at some familiar passages of scripture. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. See, we can recite certain things, we become familiar with certain passages of scripture, but we don't always fully understand how they relate to God and what they really say about God himself. And this is what I'm trying to get across to you today, is what does the Word of God say about God himself? Praise God. John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Now the Calvinists will tell you that God has selected only a certain people to be saved and he decided to damn the rest. No, that's not true. This whole whosoever is unconditional. That means anybody from the Muslim to the Middle Eastern to the Buddhist can come and receive Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. Yes.
So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is one of the reasons why you got to read verses 17 and 18 along with verse 16, is because you really get the grasp, not only the love of God, but why people go to hell. People are going to hell because they have already sinned and they're already under condemnation. The love of God has provided a way out of it through sending Jesus Christ, his Son. Praise God.
Amen.
The reason why people go to hell is not just because they've committed adultery. It's not just because they're engaging in idol worship. It's not just because they're smoking the crack. People are going to hell primarily because they keep rejecting the provision that God has made. Praise God. See, think of a good illustration is, say that this guy just began to spread an AIDS epidemic all over Rhode Island. Amen. We're limited to Rhode Island. And, you know, people are just getting AIDS left and right. And you didn't do anything wrong, but somehow the AIDS virus just got in the air. You went outside, breathed the air, and all of a sudden you got AIDS. Now, so then some altruistic scientist who cares about people decided to he finally finds a cure for the AIDS. And he says, all who come to me shall live, praise God.
Amen.
Now, you can sit there and you can say, well, you know what? I don't need his help. I'll find a way to get rid of this AIDS myself. And then you die of the AIDS. Let me ask you a question. Was it that guy's fault? Was it the scientist's fault who had the cure for you and you just rejected it? No. You decided that you did not need this cure. You said you're going to find a way to save yourself. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, that's what happens to a lot of these people out here who ain't walking with Jesus right now. Jesus has made the provision. Now, they either have rejected it when they once they heard about it, or they do not know about it. Praise God.
Amen.
One way or the other, they either got to know about it and be given the word and given the opportunity to choose the cure, which is Jesus, or to live in the condemnation and die in that condemnation and then go to hell. But listen, y'all, if they go to hell, it is not because Jesus sent them. Praise God.
Amen.
The Father did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. He did not want the world to be condemned. The world was already condemned. Amen. He sent Jesus to provide the cure from the condemnation. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, the thing is that so many people have blasphemed Jesus. I mean, you know, you got artists who sadly, in this museum, painted a picture of Jesus in a pool of piss. Excuse me, I'm sorry, urine. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. They got Jesus in a hole, in a box, in urine. That's blasphemy, praise God.
Amen.
These people are rejecting Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, sorry I used that P word, but it's a funny story behind that. I remember when my wife first came to Edwards Air Force Base in California, and I took her to church the first Sunday, and God says, oh, so how do you like this? How do you like California so far? She said, oh, when I got to Los Angeles, she said, I was excited. She said, but then I got onto the base in the desert, and I got pissed off. And she says this to one of the preachers. I'm like, oh.
I didn't mean, because I am from America. I thought that's English word. I didn't know that was crossing. That's why. Yeah, I laugh. That's,
We're all learning. That was 30-something years ago, so
yeah,
she's forgiven.
Yeah, I'm from military people. That's the
amen. But I was so embarrassed after.
Yeah. I was embarrassed after that.
Yeah, I had to explain to her, honey, you just don't say those words in church.
What? Okay.
But anyway, people, you see that people reject Jesus because by doing those type of things. And yet Jesus continues to love them and reach out to them.
Amen.
God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Here you're learning that God's love is unconditional. He so loved the world of a bunch of sinners who rejected him. Romans chapter 5. Beginning at verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. How many of y'all got the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Amen. If you're born again, you should have the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a different thing. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to teach you on that later. But if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've committed your life to him, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you.
Amen.
And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have the ability to walk in God's unconditional love. Amen. So what is that God's unconditional love? Let's go down to verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. ungodly. Now, he died. He didn't die because you was pretty. Now, some of y'all pretty. But he didn't die because of that. He didn't die just because you handsome. Now, I'm handsome. But he didn't die because I'm just because I'm handsome. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
He didn't die just because you was a good person. Praise God. He died when you were ungodly, when you weren't even worth looking at. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
When you were selfish and egotistical and nasty and mean, he died for you. Look at this. Go on down to verse 8. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. I mean, the Bible says that, man, somebody, I would, even if you were righteous, I barely would even think about dying for you. Praise Jesus. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. While we were sinners, while we were telling God no thank you, while we was doing our own thing, while we were selfish and shooting up and shooting others and backstabbing people and being disrespectful to our parents, Jesus died for us.
Amen.
That is the epitome, an example of unconditional love. Amen. He didn't wait till you got right and then say, I think I'll die for him now. No, while you were still messed up, Jesus died for you. He died for the very people that put him on that cross. When they was laughing at him, when they was teasing him, when they was saying, hey, prove that you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When Saul was going around persecuting his church, putting people in prison, and Jesus had to stop him on the road and say, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my church? He didn't say, why are you persecuting Christ Victory Bible Teaching Center? He said, why are you persecuting me? Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus was taking that personally, and yet he saved Saul. That is unconditional love. Saul did not deserve to be saved.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if most of us being in our carnal minds, we would say, God, look what he's doing to us. Kill him!
Mm-hmm.
Yet God saved him. And he became, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
Praise
God. Oh, I'm so glad God saved Saul.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, I'm so glad. Man, because of Saul, I got more revelation of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, because of Paul, I can read Colossians. I can read Ephesians. I can learn more about how the devil's trying to attack me and how I can win. Praise God.
Amen.
Because of Paul, I know now my rights in Christ Jesus. I know where that I sit in heavenly places. Because God had unconditional love towards Paul, Saul. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all should be thankful that even though your pastor was a messed up dude, praise God.
Amen.
That God had unconditional love.
Hallelujah.
He didn't wait until I got myself straightened out. Because I was waiting. I kept saying, you know, I want to get saved. I said, but I'm a mess right now. I can't come to God like this. And God said, come on! Let me clean up the mess. Finally, I gave in. I said, you know what? I've been trying to clean myself up for years, and I just keep messing up.
Amen.
Maybe I can go sometimes 3 months. Sometimes I even went 6 months. Sooner or later, I fell right back into the mess again.
Yeah.
Oh, but thank God he had unconditional love. He said, boy, I'll take you in your mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he cleaned me up, praise God.
Amen.
Man, some of y'all wouldn't be getting the word of God today. Not like this anyway, if it wasn't for God having unconditional love for your pastor.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. So God has unconditional love for sinners. While you were still a sinner, while you were still ungodly, Jesus died for you and me. That's the type of love that God has. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's an unselfish, unegotistical love. It's a love that, look, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You need to learn something here. This is probably another familiar passage. But we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to understand what love is. But I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to understand exactly what God is. Because the Bible says God is love, right? We just read that. God is love. So now you need to understand exactly how God acts. He is, his is an agape love, a totally, completely unconditional kind of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
I'm telling you, love is the foundation of everything within the Bible. The law and the prophets hang on loving. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, it says, I'm reading from the King James Version, but I'm going to replace the words charity with love.
Love suffers long. Love puts up with a lot of stuff for a long time, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all, including me, y'all can get me to a certain point where you just got on my last nerve, and then I'm done. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, he's patient. He suffers long. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Love is kind. Love does not envy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love does not exalt itself, does not vaunt itself up, is not puffed up. If anybody, whether it's a preacher, a Christian, whoever claim, if they claim to be a Christian, they claim to be a man of God, and they're walking around all stuck up and have no concern for anybody else, they're not acting like God. Glory to God. Because love does not vaunt God. Let me tell you, Jesus is the most humble person in the world.
Amen.
And because Jesus is the most humble person in the world, then the Father is the most humble person in the world. Praise God. Because the Father is just like Jesus, and Jesus is just like the Father. So the Father doesn't go around, I'm high and holy and exalted. Yes, he is high. He is holy. He isn't exalted. But he doesn't do it that way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is so humble, he comes down to you, sinful person, and shows you he loves you and brings you to him. Praise God.
Amen.
So love doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseen. It doesn't go around acting a certain way. Praise Jesus. Look at this. It seeketh not her own. It seeketh not her own. Love, God is the most unselfish person in the universe. Praise God. He does not seek his own. He is seeking after you. Glory to God.
Amen.
Is not easily provoked. How many of y'all are easily provoked? Somebody send you the wrong text, you get provoked, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah, you're not like God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, we get upset when we get the wrong phone call. Somebody getting that up. I'm telling you, a few days ago, I sent out this message to somebody asked me for help in a certain area, and I sent the message that said we can't do that here. But I said then I further down I said so, but explain to me the problem so that I can help you more. Well, another person, the person's supervisor, replied back and didn't even read the whole message, and replies back and says, you shouldn't just give a knee-jerk reaction like that, blah, blah, blah. You should be able to try to find a way to help the person, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I read that. Oh.
It's that funny.
I was almost easily provoked.
It's that funny.
I'm telling you, the love wanted to fly away like a little bird.
Fly away.
Yeah, far, far away, mama. The Troy from Trenton, New Jersey.
Was coming up.
Yeah, he was coming out. He was coming out. That old Troy was being raised, was coming out from the grave. He was digging his way out of that grave, boy.
Resurrected.
Yeah, he was resurrecting himself. Yeah. How dare, who do you think you are? I'm from Trenton, man. Don't play that.
And the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit got, thank you. Pastor Mary can tell the story better than me. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me. Thank you. Thank God the Holy Spirit got a hold of me.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom if you listen to me.
Amen.
He said, son, reply back, and this is the way you're going to reply. So I replied back, and I said, hi, so-and-so. I said, I'm very sorry if you misunderstood what I was saying, but that was not my intentions. And if you read the context of my email, you will see that I actually was trying to
get the person to give me more information. And so the person writes back and says, oh, okay. And then now they see me, they're so embarrassed, they're coming up to me and wanting to talk and have conversations. Oh, so what are you going to do this weekend? See, now, if I had allowed the flesh to get a hold of me, and even worse, because every single person in that office knows that I'm a Christian. Some of them even know I'm a pastor, praise God. Mm-hmm. Something I don't want to advertise, but people have been finding out left and right. But if I had acted in my carnal nature, I would have not only messed myself up, but I would have ruined my testimony for Jesus Christ. And who's going to listen to you if you're going to act like they act? Praise God. So that's why I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, because this flesh wanted to act out, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. But love is not easily provoked. I've been easily provoked many times. There's some people that know how to push my buttons, boy. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they say the wrong thing, and it just makes me want to just lose it. Praise God. Ain't that right? But anyway, love is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. All of this is talking about God here. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, this is one of the principles God taught me a long time ago when I was asking him to help me to walk in love. He told me, one of the things, remember son, love thinks no evil. So when a bad thought about somebody else comes into your head, he said, cast it down. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I've learned that that's how I'm able to forgive. It's not, I can't forgive out of my flesh. I can't, you know, when somebody makes me bad, I have the same struggles that any of y'all have, praise God. Mm-hmm. It's what I've learned the secret of dealing with my mind. When the devil comes to me and tries to bring that hurt back to me, I say, I don't receive that in Jesus' name, and I cast it down, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what why I can easily walk up to people, and even though if they've done me wrong, I can still do right by them, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And then I always try to remember, hey, you messed some people over in your lifetime too. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, hallelujah. Now, you and I were created in God's image and God's likeness, right? Mm-hmm. So, in the new creation, how many of y'all been born again?
Amen.
Y'all been born again?
Mm-hmm.
If you've been born again, you are supposed to be conformed to be just like Jesus. That's what we're all aiming for. Well, I don't know if that's your goal, that's my goal. But one of the goals that we have is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, praise God. Mm-hmm. So we're learning to become like him. And in both of these creations, whether it's the old creation or that you were created in the image of God, or the new creation which is made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, we are created to love, praise God.
Yeah.
And we are created to emulate God in his loving ways. Now, we're going to look at two more passages of scripture and we're going to go home. Ephesians chapter 5. You need to see this. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, when God taught me some of those insights and revelations that I have, you know, I didn't even learn that from a man. When I was asking the Lord, help me to walk in love, and he took me to 1 Corinthians 13. I didn't learn that from anybody. Almost everything I teach you, I probably learned from somebody else at one time or another, but that one was definitely divine revelation, praise God.
Amen.
That's when God was the one who started teaching me to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of him. And during that time, there was this woman who had been harassing me, a sister in Christ. But man, me and her was not getting along at all. And we had went on a missions trip together, you know, and you know, she was causing me all kinds of pain and issues. And so, you know, I was getting to the point I just couldn't stand. I would never dare admit that I hated her. but I was at the point where I just couldn't stand her. And the Lord
dealt with me concerning her, praise God. He used her as an example. He said, when it comes to sister so-and-so, when the thought comes to you, that well, what she did or what she said or how you two got into an argument, you cast that thought out of your mind, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what Jesus does. Don't you know that Jesus, the Bible says that he will not only forgive your iniquity, but he will forget it? Mm-hmm. He casts the stuff out of his mind, praise God.
Amen.
Some people say, well, that's only metaphorically, because God is omniscient. No, that's literal, praise Jesus. God ain't gonna lie. If he said he forgot my sin, he forgot it, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the beautiful things about heaven, because heaven wouldn't be heaven if you remembered all the hurts and pains, the Bible says he's gonna wipe every tear from every eye.
Mm-hmm.
That means he's gonna wipe away all that mess. Let's look at these passages of scripture, send you home. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." Praise God.
Amen.
And it tells you exactly how you can walk in love. "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." What we are being told here is that we are to walk in unconditional love, just like Jesus did. What Jesus did, he came and he died for the ungodly, praise God.
Amen.
He didn't die for somebody that was all wonderful and great, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he had died for only the good people, I was fully disqualified. I don't know about you, but I was fully unqualified, praise God.
Amen.
Thank God he died for the ungodly, because I was amongst the ungodly he died for.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
And so if Jesus treated me that way, how dare I treat somebody because in a bad way because they're ungodly?
Amen.
Now don't misunderstand me. If you're gonna live in sin, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor is obligated to discipline you. And if you decide you're gonna just stop coming back to church because the pastor disciplines you, ain't nothing I can do about that. But it has nothing to do with whether I love you or hate you. Because man, there are people y'all don't see here. You don't know how pastor feels. I'm praying for many of these same people, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these people that walked out on me, many of these people that were mad at me, some of them just send me nasty texts. Or man, y'all know some of the things people done I never told y'all. But you know what? I'm not mad at them. I love them. And I continue to pray for them, praise God.
Amen.
But the thing is that I refuse to allow Satan to make me hate anybody. I'll never lower myself to the level of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
To ever hate another man, no matter, or woman, no matter what they've done. Because Jesus died for the ungodly. And he says this is the best, he gives you the most perfect example right here. Walk in love as he loved. And how did he love? He loved by making a sacrifice on behalf of the ungodly. Let's look at one more passage of scripture and we'll get ready to go home. Matthew chapter 5. Some of these passages are probably familiar to some of y'all, but y'all, I think y'all get some more insight that you may not have gotten before. So you gotta be like God. You gotta understand God's character. If you misunderstand God, if you believe some of the stuff that some people teach about God, then you're gonna act a certain way. You're gonna feel justified in treating people a certain way and still claiming that you're a Christian. I mean, I know Christians who will cuss you out in a heartbeat, boy. People who claim to be Christians anyway. I know Christians who would have definitely reacted differently than the way I acted and would have felt justified, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at that, you know, time where I wouldn't just take crap from people. You know, I remember one time, years ago, in front of these two guys that worked for me, I was the work leader anyway. And I'm calling the contractor, and I got mad. And now here I am, I'm a Christian, been telling them about Jesus, witnessing to them. And I said a curse word over the phone to this contractor because he wasn't acting right. I mean, it wasn't no F word or anything like that. I used the D word, D-A-M-N, amen? It was still, that was bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I hung up the phone, boy, the Holy Spirit, I mean, he convicted me, and he convicted me badly. He didn't condemn me. Amen. There's a difference. He didn't condemn me, but he did convict me. And he told me, you need to apologize to these young men that you've been telling them about me, and yet you're going to sit there and act like that. And so I turned around and said, guys, I shouldn't have done that. I said, I'm sorry. They're like, no, but Troy, you was right. I said, no, I was wrong in how I acted. Praise God. Amen. And I apologized to them, and they forgave me. And one of the guys got saved a couple of years later. Praise God. Amen. I mean, he called me up all excited, telling me, guess what, man? I said, what? I'm saved now. Amen.
Amen.
See, praise God.
Amen.
When you,
thank you,
see, even though I messed up, I had to let them know that's not the way of God. Praise God. See, I mean, Moses, he was supposed to lead the folks into the promised land, and for the 90th time, they whining and crying, we ain't got no Moses, we ain't got no water. Moses, you trying to kill us out here in the desert with all this thirst? Oh, we should have went back to Egypt. And so God says, Moses, speak to the rock, and water will come out. Moses was mad.
He
said, I've been with these crazy people for 40 years, these rebels, these devils, I'm about fed up with them. Water came out anyway. And God said, come here, son. You're not going to the promised land. You did not honor me in front of the people, praise God. See, what it was, when Moses did that, because Moses was God's representative, when he acted in a fit of anger, he was making the people believe that God was like that. And God's not like that. And so because of that, God said, you dishonored me. So I have to discipline you. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But Moses got a second chance. He came down on earth and was in the promised land when him and Elijah was talking to Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
y'all just don't understand the mercy of God, some of you.
Amen.
Let's look at Matthew 5:43 and we're gonna close out. You're learning anything?
5:43.
Begin at verse 43. Now look. This is Jesus talking here in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Glory to God. How many of us want to live by that one? Yeah! We can misquote that one. I can just leave out the you have heard that it has been said. Just say, hey, the Bible says thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I hate you. But he goes on. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Woo, that's hard, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not unless you got the love of God in you. Bless them that curse you. Ooh. Do good to them that hate you.
Oh my God.
And I'm with you, mother. I'm with you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? It's easy to love somebody when they love you, don't they?
Yeah.
Do not even the publicans, the sinners, do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, while you just ignore everybody else, you know that's what some of y'all do in church sometimes. Hey, brother so-and-so. And sister so-and-so sitting right next to him. Hey, brother so-and-so.
Hey, brother.
You salute your friends, ain't saluting the person that you mad at. What do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Now listen to this. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. See, people quote this scripture out of context. They say, but we can't be perfect. That's not what it's not talking about never making mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's not talking about you that you never make mess up sometimes. It's saying to be mature like your Father. And within the context, if you walk in love like Father does, then you become like your Father, praise God.
Amen.
That's why you need to understand God's character. God loves his enemies, praise God.
Amen.
While we were yet still enemies of God, Christ died for us. He died for his enemies. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Hear Almighty God. He could, you know, if God was operating in his power, he could have destroyed all of them. Jesus said, I could call for a legion of angels to rescue me. But he gave his life. Praise God.
Amen.
That's what we got to learn to do. If we really want to win the world, we've got to have sacrificial love. Praise God.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Amen.
You learn anything today?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Glory to God. Amen. We got a few more lessons in this. We're going to be, next week, we're going to talk about the Satan's satanic nature and his selfish nature and why you don't want to walk in that kind of nature. Praise God.
Amen.
Satan is the exact opposite of God. He is full of hate while God is full of love. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Bow your heads, close your eyes. Glory. Yes, ma'am.